All right, how many of you have your Bibles this morning? Amen. Amen. Let's hold them up high. Let me see them. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. All right, I want you to open them up. And we're going to have Brother Mayer come up and tell you not only where he is a missionary to, but also he's going to preach to us this morning. Come on, my brother.
Good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
This thing on, it comes on by itself. Okay. Well, I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here.
You're quite a crowd. It's a blessing. It's good to see you all this morning. I'm a missionary in the country of Ukraine.
Been there since 1993, and I thank the Lord for sending me there. He sent me there single and took care of the rest. You know, the Lord said he would supply for all of our needs, and he sent me my wife. She's up there in the balcony. Her name's Oksana. Stand up there, sweetie, so they can all see you. I'm thankful for the Lord blessing me with a good wife. We've been married now 26 years, and the Lord's been very, very good to us, gave us a couple great children, and they're up in Cincinnati right now. Son's finishing up his high school and going to welding school, and my daughter's studying to be a counselor for children, trying to help children that have to deal with traumas that they've had to go through. And I'm thankful that the Lord gives us the opportunity to serve him in Ukraine. Why? Because it's a great country, just like all of them, that needs the gospel, needs the Lord Jesus Christ. All this world's in darkness, and the light can only shine if somebody's there proclaiming it and showing it and showing them Christ through them. He said that he put his treasure, his light, in this earthen vessel that others could see that light, could see what that light does, how it changes people, how it makes this world totally different. If God didn't send his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we'd all stay in darkness and we'd all perish. But thank God he gave us the way, the truth, and the life. And we're thankful that we have the opportunity to minister in Ukraine right now. Ukraine has become the news topic of the world the last 250 some days. The Lord has allowed that there's been a war going on there. But through this, the circumstances, the Bible says, God has actually worked this to break a great evangelization, a great gospel spreading. And I'm sad for the war, but I'm thankful for all the churches and all the Christians and all the people now that are finally grabbing a Bible because they want to know. And Brother Limon, who's going to be speaking tonight, he actually is printing New Testaments and shipping them over there to Poland. They've already printed 500,000 New Testaments in Ukrainian, and they before that were printing Ukrainian and Russian. And we're thankful that God uses literature because it's through his word that we're born again. So he takes that incorruptible seed. I want to kind of give you an unusual lesson this morning, and I hope that you'll get a hold of it. I want you to think about what was God's original plan when he made this world, and what's his plan for you. I know there's a gospel message out there, people that don't really follow the Bible, they'd say, you know, God's got a great plan for your life. He does, but in reality the devil's tried to mess up that plan and doesn't want God's plan to work. That's why I don't know how many of you here are saved. I know some of you probably haven't understood the message all the way yet. And I'm praying that God will open your eyes and help you understand what God's real plan was for this world and what his plan is for you. If you think about the fact that this world is now not what it was when God made it, what did God originally do? And it's very interesting. If you want to know what God wanted to do with this world and what he wants to do for you, you got to start with the Bible. Start with actually the first couple chapters. In the beginning, when it all began to be, what did God plan? What did God set up? He did something special for Adam. Before he even put Adam down here on the earth, what did he do? He made a special place for him. He made paradise. He made the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden was a perfect place. There was no sin. There was nothing wrong with the Garden of Eden. There was one commandment. I want to show you something real quick, and I'm going to try to draw some pictures. I'm the worst drawer there ever was. My stick men usually have their hands going up. I don't know why. My wife asked me why. I guess they're praising the Lord. I don't know. But God made this perfect garden. The Bible says, can you read that for me, Brother Jim? In chapter 2 of Genesis, we're going to read verses 8 and 9. Could you read those, brother?
And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Okay, so we have this great garden with great everything in it. And in the middle of the garden, you've got the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
And sadly to say, man has to make a choice. Man has to make a choice in this life. And I know that Adam and Eve, sadly to say, made the wrong choice, didn't they? And that's created the ruined, broken world that we now live in. But I want you to think about what God's original plan was, what they had in that garden. God planted this garden and then put Adam right there. Was Adam all by himself? It seemed like he was lonely for sure. That's why God said, I'm going to make, in chapter 2 later, he says, I'm going to make a helpmeet for him. And he does that, and that's in verse 18 on. He says he made Eve from his rib so that he would be like him. And he also would realize, if it's from my rib, I need to love her. She needs to be special to me. And so they had a real good closeness between the two of them. But just those two alone wasn't enough. That wasn't the perfect. God is always a God of threes. God is the God of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. He wanted man not just to be him and his wife. He made the first family right here. And it wasn't supposed to be a bunch of kids after that. Those kids come later. But God wanted man to have a relationship with him, that all three of them would be together. And that's why God put them in this garden, and God didn't just leave them there. God came down and walked and talked with them. Isn't that a blessing? That God wanted to be with man. God wanted to have a relationship with him. God wanted to talk with him. What do you think? Does God want to talk to you today? Does he want you to have that kind of a relationship? I hope you realize he really does. He made you for the same purpose. I mean, he made you so that you can enjoy fellowship and talking with him. God does not want to be way, way up there. You know, most religions, that's where they put him. Way up there where he's almost unattainable. And you try to do good things to hopefully be good enough that maybe he'll let you come up there when you die. But you know what? God wants to change things right now. And he wants to reestablish that relationship that we should have, that Adam and Eve had at the beginning when they walked and talked with God and fellowshiped with him. He wants each and every one of us to have a walk and a talk and a fellowship with him. He wants us to know him personally. The Bible says that we are supposed to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. God wants us to grow because he wants us to know him more and more. And you know where you're going to find out what God said, what God wants you to believe? It's all right here. It's the Bible says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie has promised. Remember, this book is promises, and it's promises from the living God, who will never lie to you. He'll never let you down. God wants you to trust this book, trust his word, because he gave you these promises so you would know who he is and what he's done for you and how much he cares for you. He wants you to know that the way it was is the way it's supposed to be for you. He wanted Adam and Eve to have a special time where they would live and walk and talk with him. Now, the devil hates that. The devil decided, I'm going to mess this up. He was envious of the fact that before, he talked with God, and then God kicked him out of heaven when he got proud. And he came down here and decided, well, I'm going to mess up God's next plan. God, when he saw God start working with man and making this garden, he decided, I'm going to go down there and use that tree of the knowledge of good and evil and ruin this relationship that God wants with man. And you know what? Each one of us, sadly to say, is now got a problem, because that time when God said, the day that you eat thereof, that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in that day, you're going to die. Adam and Eve died that day, spiritually. They lost that relationship with God that they were supposed to have. That's why today, we have to be born again and become spiritual children of God so that we can have that relationship reestablished. I'm going to talk more about that as we go, but I wanted you to see this, because what happened as a result of Adam and Eve disobeying God was, when you look at this picture, there's that tree right there. There's the great tree that God put there for him. You know what? That tree, that green one, represents the tree of the knowledge, the tree of life. The tree that if they would have eaten from the fruit of this tree, what would have happened? They'd have lived for How long? Forever. Huh. Doesn't God want to give us life forever? Eternal life? He wants us to have that too. And they had the special relationship that they were living in a perfect place. A place that had no sin. You know, God wants us to live in a perfect place too. God made this, which is paradise. And now you know where paradise is? Paul said, I was up in paradise in the third heaven. It's up there where God is. And that's where he said, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And when I prepare that place, I'm going to come down here and get you again. Get you and take you up there so you'll be with me. Why? He wants us to be in paradise forever with him. He wants us to enjoy eternity, eternal life, and eternity with God in paradise. Those are the three things that Adam and Eve should have treasured. What God gave them. He gave them an opportunity to walk and talk and live with him. He gave them an opportunity to have eternal life and live forever in where? In a perfect paradise. Sadly to say, they didn't value what God gave them. They didn't think it was really that important. They sold it for just a little bite of some fruit that was going to give them some knowledge and make them like God, because the devil tricked them, deceived them. Everybody thinks that that forbidden fruit is sweet. But the Bible says there's only a little bit of pleasure in sin, but it's for a very short season, and it brings death. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. There's nothing good in sin in reality. You think, oh, this is great, and you try it, and then you, oh, I shouldn't have done that. You have regrets, because sin always brings bad feelings, regrets. Why? Your conscience says, why'd you do that? You shouldn't have done that. You're smarter than that, aren't you? Well, sometimes we aren't so smart, and we don't fight those temptations, and we go ahead and try this stupidity. And you know what it does? It brings us to that same broken state that Adam and Eve ended up in. They ended up in a world that now we would say is corrupted because of sin. We're in this world that's now all broken up, all got all kind of problems. And this broken world right now is full of all kind of wickedness, isn't it? There's all kinds of yucky, ugly things going on out in this world. But you know what? This isn't where God wants to leave us. This isn't how God wants to leave you. You're a sinner, right? I'm a sinner. But I thank God. Right now I'm 56. But when I was 20 years old, God showed me, this is where I'm at. And I tried different things. I tried religion. I tried to please God myself, but it didn't lead me anywhere. I tried a lot of other foolish sins. Alcohol. And things that people think, oh, this is great. I got to try this. It didn't make me happy. It was just pleasure for a real short time. When a person does all those stupid things, they got to try it again and again and again, because it never really makes them happy. It never fills up their heart and makes them satisfied. But you know what would make you satisfied? Is that relationship with God again. That's what satisfies. That's what makes people happy. To get that, though, how? People try all kinds of things, but they all lead to death. They all lead to emptiness. But God did a special thing. He sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, down here because he knew there was no other way. But if God didn't intercede, that we were going to end up with a opportunity to get back to God like we needed to. To get back to God, God had to do something special. He had to send his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, where? Just not into this world, but he sent him down into this world to go to the cross so that he could go there, like we just sang about, and pay for our sins. If there was no payment for sin, there would be no way for God to forgive us and reestablish that connection, put us back in fellowship with him. That's what God wants. Jesus died on that cross, and then he rose again the third day, and now he's victorious. And we are here to tell you how that victory over death and that payment for our sins gives every one of us the chance now to not just remain in sin, but to get our fellowship with God restored through God's plan of redemption. God wanted each and every one of us to be able to talk with him again and call him our Father. You know, Adam, the Bible says, was God's son.
And God wants you and me to be God's sons and daughters. God wants each one of us to have a special relationship once again with God. I want you to think about something today. Where are you at right here on this picture? Are you walking and talking with God because you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ who died for your sins so that you could be in a relationship again with God? Are you still over here under sin in this wicked world, this world that's broken and just full of problems? Are you just having all those problems without God and don't know how to handle them, how to deal with them? Where are you? Only you know, you and God. And you have to decide where you're going to stay. Because you know what? Where you stay is going to determine where you go for eternity. If you're just have eaten from this tree and you're just living in sin without God and you haven't asked God for his forgiveness and haven't believed that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins so you could get reconciled back to God and have peace, have forgiveness. You know, I was brought up as a Catholic and I used to tell the priest all my sins. I thought that was the way it was supposed to be because that's what they taught me. But you know what? One day somebody showed me in the Bible that there's nobody else supposed to hear my sins and nobody else that can forgive my sins but God. And he said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when I finally called on the Lord, asked him to save me, you know what? He did it. It's been 36 years almost. And I've never regretted it one day. I'm so thankful that now I know what? I know where I'm going to spend eternity and with whom I'm going to spend eternity. And thank God there won't be any more of that up in heaven. And in heaven, there won't be any more trials and temptations. That was a temptation to see what man would choose, to love God and live with him or to try to be like the devil wanted him to be. Think they could be better and think they could be just like God. The devil's always trying to tempt us with all kinds of things. But God wants to give us a great relationship. Take us out of this broken world and through the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he sent. You have a verse right up there. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. What was his purpose then? But that the world through him, through Jesus Christ, might be saved. And each and every one of us, through Jesus Christ, can be saved today. And if you're not saved, the Bible says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. God wants you to make a choice so you don't end up going off into eternity dying without hope, dying without Christ, and end up going to hell. There's so many people, sadly to say, that are just on this broad way that leads to destruction. And they didn't realize that God made a narrow way. He made a way that they could get an escape from this wicked world through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And through the way that God made, you can get restored to God. You can get fellowship with God again. You can have eternal life and live with him forever in a perfect place where there is no more sin. That's a choice you can have to make. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he that believeth is not condemned. We're not going to go to hell. But he that believeth not is condemned already right now. He's still on his way to hell. The Bible says that he that hath the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ is their Savior, he has life. He that hath not the Son, he won't even see life. He won't even see heaven. Why? Because the wrath of God abides on him. I was under God's wrath till I was 20 and finally called upon the Lord for forgiveness and said, yep, I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness. And I know that this happened. Jesus died on that cross because of me, because of my sins. He had to pay for them so God could forgive them. You know, God is like a judge. He couldn't just say, I forgive you. What's your name? Mia. He couldn't just say, Mia, you're a great girl. I love you. I just want to forgive you. He said, Mia, I love you. I want to forgive you, but I have to pay for your sins. Mia, you got to have a Savior. You got to have somebody that's going to save you from your sins. And you know what? If we could look up in heaven right now, you know what we'd see? We'd see God up there. The Bible says that he's long-suffering. He's watching out over all of us. But you know, he's not happy with us. if we're not Christians yet. He says he's not willing that any of us should perish. He doesn't want us to die and go to hell. But he's not happy that we haven't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We haven't believed that God loved me so much, that God did this for me that I could never do for myself. I tried religion. It didn't help me. I finally gave up on religion. And then I got worse into sin because I was trying to be good, but I realized I couldn't be ever good enough. But thank God there was one that was perfect, Jesus Christ, God's Son. And he sent him into this world to die on that cross so that I, through his perfect goodness, his righteousness, could become righteous before God and then live forever with him. You know, in heaven, if you could see the picture, God's up there waiting for each and every one of you, waiting for when you're going to finally say, yes, I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. I need your forgiveness, God, because I've sinned against you, and I believe and I know that Jesus died for me. And you know what? When you call upon him, God made it real simple. Why? Because Jesus rose from the dead, right? And where is he right now? He might be in your heart if you're saved, but he's also right there beside the throne of God. He's sitting there waiting for when you and I, when I already did this, but I hope you have. He's waiting for when you're going to come to him and say, hey, I'm guilty. I need help. I need to be saved. And Jesus is your advocate sitting up there, right there beside the throne of God. He's waiting. He's already shed his perfect, precious blood so you can get cleansed from all your sins and God can forgive you because they were paid for. And he's just waiting. Come on. The Bible says he's ever living up there to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God through him. You can't get to God without Jesus. There's no way. Religions try, and there's many of them. There's thousands of them. But every religion in this world was established by the devil to confuse men and take them to hell. But God's got a perfect way. It's faith. It's not religion. It's a real relationship with God when you really trust him and you really believe in what he's done for you and how much he loves you. And when you do that, God reestablishes that relationship that Adam and Eve once had when they had perfect fellowship. They walked and talked with God, and they spent time with him, and they had the ability to live forever because there was a tree right there. They could have eaten it and lived forever. Today, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the one that gives eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life. You get eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So don't put it off. Don't wait. What are you waiting for? You think life's going to get better? You think this broken world's going to ever make you happy? No way. It's all right here. It's all through Christ. And he establishes us in a great relationship with God where you can walk and talk with the Creator again. So just remember, God's waiting. He's putting up with you. The Bible says he's not willing that any of us should perish. He didn't want anybody to die and go to hell. He died for every one of us so that each one of us could get forgiveness and not perish but have eternal life. And Jesus is waiting there. Hey, come on. I'll intercede for you. I'll make it easy. I'll save you from your sins. He's right there. He wants to be your Savior. So call upon him. Ask him to be your Savior. I had a lot more I'd like to say, but you know I'm not going to get to say everything. But I want to say one thing to you. If you are a Christian today, you know what? You can use the same illustration to explain to anybody, any of your friends, how they can be saved. You can be one that's not living over here in this world, but living here with God and go into this wicked world and trying to tell them about salvation. You can use the same illustration. It's real simple. It's real easy. I wasn't going to use just that illustration today. I had a whole other message, but you know, time goes quicker than we ever imagined. And I'm glad that I got to tell you this, because you know what? Each one of you is important. What's your name? Uh-oh. You're Miss Shy. What's your name, mister? What? Okay. Well, God wants to save each and every one of us, and he has your name on his list. He wants you to be in the book of life so you can live forever with him, Westner. God wants you and me, every one of us, to be with him. Don't be ashamed to come to him and ask him for forgiveness because he wants you to, okay? You don't have to be so mean. So upset with me. All right. I want to go ahead and pray with y'all right now. I want to ask you to think about where you are. Are you here with God? You have forgiveness. You know that your life is, you've made peace with God because you asked God to forgive you. Go ahead and stand with me. Or are you over here still in this world thinking that someday, somehow, maybe you'll end up being happy? Mm-mm. It won't happen. There's no such thing as happiness in this world without Jesus Christ. And I wanted to remind you today that God did everything already. We have to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who went to that cross and said the greatest word ever. Words, I guess in English it's three words. In Russian it's one big word. It's called, "It is finished." He finished everything that needed to be done for you and me to be able to get out of this broken world and through his sacrifice on that cross, get right with God and have peace and know, hey, he's going to come back and get me. I'm going to be with him forever. That's the greatest peace, greatest joy, greatest thing you can know. It makes you so glad. And I hope that today you're not going to pass up your opportunity. And you're not going to be one of those that, that's the foolish answer that the devil wants you to put in your mind and think, well, I can do it later. Well, hope you have time. I don't know that you will. I know God told me, he said, repent or ye shall likewise perish. And I turned to God that day and I got saved and I'm thankful for it. I was at my home all by myself. You know why I did it? Because I had Christians tell me how they got saved. And their testimony opened up my eyes. And I knew exactly what God wanted me to do. And I got on my knees and asked him to save me. And it worked. It's been a blessing. The last 36 years have been great. God had a great adventure for me to do after that. Not everybody goes on the same adventure, but you know what? Everybody can be saved. Jesus died for all. So let's go ahead and talk to the Lord right now. I want to just ask you to think about whether or not you have made Christ your Lord and your Savior. If you haven't, why not? What are you waiting for? Is there anything in this world that's keeping you from it? It's not worth it. There's nothing this world offers that will ever make you happy, will ever satisfy you. Only Jesus. So let's go ahead and pray. Our Father, I want to thank you for all these young people. Thank you, Father, that you made it so each one of us, young, old, everybody, all of us sinners, wouldn't have to stay in that same condemned, sinful situation where we couldn't talk to you, couldn't know you, couldn't go to heaven. We thank you that you made it clear. You made it plain. You sent your son, Jesus, to that cross, knowing that his payment for our sins would be all that was needed. And it would make it the perfect opportunity for you to forgive us and give us eternal life so we could be with you forever. And even down here now that we're Christians, we can walk with you and talk with you and enjoy peace in our hearts and joy in our souls and sing songs of praise because we know that you're our Father and you loved us and you love us. I pray that you'll bless each one of these young people, every person that's here today. Help each one of us to be thankful. Those that are saved, help them to go to their friends, go to other people that they know and tell them all that you've done for them. You know, I'm so grateful, God, that you cared for me. And I pray that you'll just help each one of these people, young people, to see your care and your love on that cross and say, I need Jesus. Help them to call upon you today. We pray and we ask you in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. How about if we do this? Let's be seated real fast. I know we got to be dismissed. But kind of an attitude of prayer with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. How many of today with heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around but me and the Lord right now, how many of you would slip up your hand and say, Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. For the mayor preached clear salvation. How many of you would say, I'm not sure I'm saved, Preacher. I need to know that. Slip your hand up for me. Hold it up so your teacher can see it. Teachers, if you'd look and see those hands, I know many of you are, how about high schoolers, is there anybody, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed and nobody's looking around, but maybe me and the teachers, you'd slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I need to be saved." All right. I want you to put your hands down. Those of you that raised your hands, why don't you look at me today? You know, your teacher wants to help you get that settled. So you go to them today and say, "Teacher, I need to be saved. I need to accept Christ as my Savior." I'm going to close in prayer. I appreciate all that was preached this morning, and we do want for sure. Let me ask this before. Maybe you're here in today's message. You said, "Preacher, the Lord's really touched my heart. I really believe God's calling me to do something in His work." Would you slip your hand up? Say, "I believe God's calling me to do something in His work." Just hold your hand up where I can see that. All right, I want to pray for you. I appreciate those hands. I see that. All right, let's pray together. Dear Lord, we come to you this morning. Lord, we thank you for what was preached, Lord. And just thank you how simple salvation is, Lord. I pray that today that it's brought down on a level where everyone could understand. And I pray that today that some of our young people that raise their hand, really, Lord, all of them would go to their teacher, or their teacher would go to them, and that they would share the gospel again with them, and that they would receive Jesus as their Savior. I pray for these that slipped their hand up, that you're calling and drawing them into yourself for full-time ministry to just serve you, just the calling on their life. Lord, I pray that they would surrender to those things and make it public, that folks might be able to pray for them, that you might be able to continue to help edify and grow them towards whatever it is that you have for their lives. Lord, I thank you for our missions conference, our missionaries being here. Help us now today as they go class to class. Lord, I pray that questions would be answered that might help our young people, Lord, have more of a burden for missions, whether that is through giving, whether that's through going, whatever it is that you want them to do. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.